We did pick up 6/100ths of an inch of rainfall yesterday here at the KJN studios. Messina reported 13/100ths of an inch of rainfall. And we do anticipate a chance of a little bit of light rain overnight tonight. And that could transition to a little bit of light snow from time to time here over the weekend. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The Adams County Sheriff's Office released details on numerous recent arrests, including one early Saturday and two on Friday. Early Saturday morning at 2 a.m., deputies conducted a traffic stop near the intersection of Highway 25 and 275th Street. After investigation, Taylor Allen Ray of Lenox was arrested for OWI second offense. He was booked into the Adams County Jail. On Friday, Adams County deputies witnessed a truck operated by Stephen Wolf Jr. drive at a vehicle head-on and put his front bumper against the front bumper of a truck that was sitting at a stop sign. Wolf then rapidly accelerated in an attempt to push the truck backwards. He was charged with three counts of child endangerment, one count of domestic abuse, and he was also cited for reckless driving, careless driving, failure to obey a traffic control device, and driving on the wrong side of a two-lane roadway. And also on Friday morning at 4:45 a.m., deputies conducted a traffic stop on Highway 25 and 272nd Street. K-9 Baxo was deployed during the investigation and gave a positive indication to the odor of narcotics. The driver, Robert Gerard of Creston, was placed under arrest for possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine second offense, and possession of marijuana second offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia, digital scale. Gerard was also issued a citation for speeding, failure to provide insurance, and no valid driver's license. On October 9th at 5:41 p.m., Adams County deputies arrested Linda Stitzman and Nicholas Hale, both of Corning, for possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. And on October 7th, Adams County deputies arrested Austin Ray Gardner of Clarinda on an Adams County warrant for possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Red Oak man on Friday. At 11:30 a.m., deputies arrested 29-year-old Sean A. Jensen of Red Oak on a charge of enticement of a minor. The arrest is the result of an incident that allegedly took place on Wednesday, October 3rd. Jensen was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on a $10,000 cash bond. Police in Des Moines say a man being sought on multiple arrest warrants fled a police stop before shooting and critically injuring himself. Police say officers tried to stop a car driven by 29-year-old Jacob Lee Hall around 6:30 p.m. Thursday when he sped off. Officers gave chase and Hall's car soon lost control and crashed into a house. Police say that as officers approached the car, Hall shot himself in the head. He was taken to a hospital where he remained Friday in critical condition. Two passengers in Hall's car were uninjured. Police say Hall was wanted on warrants charging him with burglary and several weapons and drug counts. The Iowa Department of Human Services has been made aware of a potential scam targeting food assistance recipients who use electronic benefit transfer. There have been reports of recipients receiving a text message which advises them their EBT funds are expiring and immediate deposit is required. It then asks them to click on a link to apply for benefits, at which point it asks for personal information. Iowa does not use mobile messaging to share information with EBT recipients. This is a scam. Recipients are advised not to click on a link or provide any personal information. The Iowa Department of Transportation has implemented a couple of changes as workers prepare for another winter of battling snow and ice on the state's roads. Craig Bargfried, the Iowa DOT's Winter Operations Administrator, says cameras will be installed in all snow piles and still images will be posted online.
So in our world, winter officially starts on October 15th and runs until the 15th of April.
And last winter, about two-thirds of the DOT's roughly 900 snow plows had cameras. This year, all of them will be equipped with technology. All plows will also feature blue and white safety lights along with the familiar amber color.
So the public will be able to view those and see what's actually going on out in the system from our operator's perspective. The blue and white portion of our lighting package is only rear-facing. So you will know when you see that lighting package that you will be coming upon a truck. You're not meeting a snowplow truck.
And the Iowa DOT experimented with the blue and white colors for the past several years, and according to Bargfried, they've helped reduce certain types of crashes by nearly two-thirds.
Our own internal research and crash data over the last 4 years, we really saw a reduction in rear end and sideswipe crashes to our vehicles when we started doing the blue-white amber lighting package.
The Iowa DOT sets aside $40 million each year for winter operations. Bargfried oversees roughly 1,000 full-time employees.
And we're also in the process of trying to hire some seasonal employees, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 600 seasonal employees, to augment our full-time staff across the state of Iowa.
And those part-timers are paid $17.45 an hour. Iowa's low unemployment rate is making it difficult to find those extra workers, according to Bargfried. While DOT workers wait for the first significant winter storm, they're busy with maintenance on the plow trucks, topping off storage sheds with salt, and going through driver training.
We have an operator driving simulator that is rotating throughout our districts where we've got a number of operators going through and doing refresher training and new operator training on our driving simulator.
The Iowa DOT's winter season will begin on Monday. In other news, police in Council Bluffs have made an arrest in connection with the robbery last Sunday morning of the Mega Saver store at 3540 West Broadway in Council Bluffs. Authorities said on Friday that with the help from tips by the public, along with information provided by patrol officers, detectives were able to identify the suspect as 22-year-old Ahmed A. Ibar of Council Bluffs. An arrest warrant was applied for and signed on Wednesday. On Friday morning, Ibar was located and taken into custody. He was transported to the Pottawatomie County Jail without incident and was charged with robbery in the first degree, felon in possession of a firearm, ongoing criminal conduct, and theft in the fourth degree. Officers were called a little after 8 a.m. Sunday to the store. When they arrived, a station attendant said the black male had entered the business wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt with dark sleeves. After entering, the suspect walked around the counter and pointed a silver handgun at the attendant and demanded money. The suspect went to both registers and took money from both. The suspect left the area running northwest. Police in Red Oak report the arrest at around 10 a.m. on Friday of a Red Oak man on a felony sexual assault charge. 19-year-old Rodrigo Lima Silva was taken into custody on a charge of sexual assault in third degree as a result of an incident that allegedly occurred during the early morning hours of Monday, October 8th. Lima Silva was being held in a Montgomery County jail on a $10,000 cash bond. And two people were arrested on separate warrants Thursday in Creston. Authorities say 32-year-old Courtney Lynn White of Creston was arrested at her home Thursday afternoon on a warrant for probation violation. White was transported to the Adams County Jail and held on a $2,000 cash-only bond. And 39-year-old Seth Jacob Preston of Creston was arrested on Thursday morning on an outside law enforcement agency warrant for a probation violation. Preston was being held in the Union County Jail on a $20,000 cash-only bond. And coming up tonight here in Atlantic, the Atlantic Firemen's Parade is being held at 6 p.m. The Goodsell Clydesdales Hitching Display downtown will start at 3:30. Parade lineup is at 4 o'clock at 2nd and Sunnyside Lane. Midwest Medical Transport will be landing a helicopter at 5 o'clock. There'll be marching bands, the Isisarets Drill and Drum Corps, the Salem Stepping Saints and Pleasant Green Baptist Church Marching Saints, the Atlantic High School and Middle School bands also performing. You'll also see the Goodsell Clydesdales and bagpipes during the parade, and city park activities will be from 2 to 5. Lots of kids' activities with a bounce house. They'll have a chili cook-off, face painting, pie baking competition, pumpkin decorating, and wine tasting. More information can be found at AtlanticIowa.com. The Fireman's Dance will be tonight at the Cass County Community Center from 8 to midnight with food being served and the Gallivant Band performing. And Atlantic Fire Department is also celebrating their 150th year of existence along with the City of Atlantic. And we'll have live coverage of that parade for you tonight here on the radio as Rick Hansen and LaVon Eblen will give you the call of that one here tonight. If you can't make it down, you can also catch video tonight on our Facebook page as well of that Atlantic Firemen's Parade. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements this morning. Esther Fredrickson, age 101 of Avoca and formerly of Walnut, died Tuesday at the Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Esther Fredrickson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Donna J. Fancher Borst, age 68, and David Lee Borst, age 66, of St. Petersburg, Florida, died September 20th at their home in Florida. Joint services for Donna and David Borst will be held on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. David Crone, age 72, of Ionia, Michigan, died on April 25th at Sparrow Health Systems in Lansing, Michigan. And graveside services for David Crone will be held today at 1 p.m. at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. Polygen's Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Pamela Cool, age 69, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at home. Funeral services for Pamela Cool will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Robert Jensen, age 66, of Shelby, died October 5th at Selected Specialty Hospital. Funeral services for Robert Jensen will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Dale Walter Doc Clausen, age 96, of Stewart, died Thursday at home. Memorial services for Dale Doc Clausen will be held on Friday at 2 p.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. That's a look at the latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.